33. Over the Falls.
I'm not going to have to rescue you from drowning, am I?
Octavia asked. They were north of their camp, staring down from the edge of a small cliff at the river below. There was a waterfall, and she would have thought it rather beautiful if she weren't dreading the next step. This was their first day of what Mr. Socrates had suggested would be weeks of training. They were to cut their way through rough bush using a compass, working as a team. A prize was waiting at the end of the map Mr. Socrates had given them. He hadn't said what it would be. I'm a much better swimmer than I used to be, Modo said. Are you just worried about your hair? Hair? That was the last thing Octavia was concerned about. She'd tied it back with black ribbon to keep it out of her eyes, and hadn't worn a dress since her arrival 2 days ago. Only black military fatigues. A slimming colour, she noted, making her look all the more boyish. Good. She wasn't one of those overdressed plump ladies who spent their lifetimes lounging on velvet chairs. Her accessories were a utilitarian brown belt and a razor-sharp sabre that Tharpa was teaching her how to use. After a week on a boat and days on a train, it was glorious to be active again, even if it meant tramping through the bush. She preferred city streets, of course. They had crawled, run, and cut their way to this location, only to find the river blocking their way. Going around it might take days, and the idea of spending the night out here didn't appeal to her. One of us should see if it's deep enough, she said. I nominate you. Ladies first, he said. But you're the gentleman. You're more a gentleman than me. What's that supposed to mean? It was the closest thing to a joke she'd heard from Modo in weeks. Well, Modo, if I stick around, you're going to talk me to death. With that, she stood up, ran, and jumped into the air, aiming close to the waterfall. She hoped the water had carved a deep enough well that she wouldn't break her legs. It must be all right. After all, Mr. Socrates wouldn't have sent them here unless it was possible. Halfway down, she wondered if she'd made a mistake. Maybe they were supposed to use their rope to cross. The water was shockingly cold, and she sank much deeper than she'd expected to. At any moment, her legs would strike the bottom and snap like twigs. Instead, she came to a stop and began kicking, climbing for the surface, and was soon splashing in the open water. "It's toasty warm," she shouted, then swam for the opposite shore as Modo, doing his best impression of a cannonball, struck the water nearby. Not the smoothest dive she'd seen. But Modo had only recently learned how to swim. "You splash around like a mad dog," she said. "You'll scare the beavers, the ducks, and the whatnots for miles around." She had taken to swimming in the Thames when she was a street child, but had never enjoyed taking a bath. It wasn't until she became an agent and had her first hot bath that she understood why the aristocrats spent half their lives in bathhouses. "At least I can float." His wet netting mask clung to his face, showing his deformities and making him look like a sea monster. Despite wishing it could be otherwise, she still shuddered. But she had sworn to herself that she wouldn't show any weakness. They climbed onto the bank. "The compass still works," he said. They made their way up the ravine, following the coordinates Mr. Socrates had provided. Soon they were tramping through the bush again. "Maybe that was our toughest test," she said. "Not so loud," Modo replied. "You're snapping every twig. I'm going to snap you." But he was right. She could move quietly in the street, but in the forest she wasn't certain where to step. Modo, on the other hand, moved as though born in the forest. He was a peasant's son, after all. Maybe that was it. "What do you think the point of all this is?" Octavia asked. "I don't know. Maybe Mr. Socrates just wants us out of his hair. Wait. Modo grabbed her shoulder and yanked her back a step. He pointed at the ground. A trap. He lifted a branch of leaves. Below was a hole.
"How did you see it?"
"Fresh leaves on the forest floor alerted me."
"Since when did you become Robin Hood?" she asked.
"Are you Maid Marian?"
"No. I'm always Richard the Lionheart. But I see Mr. Socrates doesn't want this to be just a gallivant around the forest. At least there aren't as many insects and snakes here as Australia."
They took another compass reading, and Modo checked his watch. "We're about an hour behind," he said. "We've maybe travelled 2 miles." It was the first time they'd been alone in 2 days.
So Octavia decided to bring up a question she'd wanted to ask the day before. "I'm curious, Modo," she began. "How do you feel about the Dragoons?"
He shrugged.
"I don't completely trust Mr. Socrates' motives. I can't help wondering if there was something else that could have been done, besides turning them into soldiers. I talked to Esther. She's very happy with her position. Says she was made for it, in fact. And she's eager to stick a poker in the eye of the rotters who tortured her. But they've been turned into weapons, again. Oppie wanted to read and become a detective. That's all he wanted when I met him. Do you think Mr. Socrates gave them more of the potion?"
Saying it made Octavia go cold. The birds seemed to grow quiet. Modo was taking a long time to answer.
"No," he said finally. I think he's made some hard choices for Queen and country, but he wouldn't do that." "How can you be so sure?"
"Because if he had, he'd have kept every one of the children, not just a dozen of them. Can you imagine 50 dragoons?" She didn't want to point out that maybe there were other bases where dragoons were being trained. No, she told herself. Mr. Socrates sometimes had a chunk of ice for a heart, but he wouldn't go that far. "The dragoons want to hit back at the Clockwork Guild, I have no doubt of that," Modo said. "And they seem to be mature enough to make their own decisions. And
wait." He stopped next to a tree. "I hear something." It was like
men in grey uniforms thudded from the trees around them.
"Guild soldiers. How'd they find us?"
Modo blocked a blow, then twisted and threw one soldier against another. Octavia ducked under the club of yet another soldier and struck the man in his midsection. Well, lower than the midsection. He collapsed, and she smiled to herself. They never expect a lady to do that. Octavia was never a lady. When all of the men were unconscious, Octavia said, "How did they find us?" Modo peeled away the uniform of one man to find a black shirt.
"Our men? Why, they were just posing. I wondered why they had no pistols. This is another part of our training, I see. What'll we do with them?"
"Just leave them," Modo replied. "They'll be up and around soon enough." Following the coordinates, they broke through the forest. On a stump of a pine tree in the middle of a clearing, they discovered an envelope. Octavia snapped it up. Inside were a pair of tickets. Each said, "This ticket good for one hot bath at the officer's tent."
"So the old man has a sense of humor after all," Modo said,
and they burst out laughing.